ignorant, perhaps in order to know, ask, is it from the Prophet? Is it from the Quran? Is it from the Hadith? Is it what the companions did? Is it what they understood? Ask. Thirdly, because he's a blind follower. He just doesn't ask for evidence, just blindly follows. He follows from what he said before. He's a blind follower. Majority of the Muslims around us are what? Blind followers. Blind. Not that they're not following the correct thing. They end up perhaps doing the right action. But they didn't know it was correct, never asked for the evidence. Never knew the evidence. And Allah has said, follow that which is revealed. You have to know that Allah said so. And the Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If majority of our blind followers, then how can you expect our situation to be one of, you know, all rosy and, you know, nice? And excuses. Well, I am busy with matters that are more obligatory, you see, than the one you're talking about. I've got to get on with this first and do that later. Why? Ask him why. Ask yourself, ask myself why. Oh, because that's the way I decided so. Really, you'll find no good reason. And fifthly, the most important point is because he leaves what is the most important, the action of the heart. He doesn't really seek to purify his heart. He doesn't do the actions of the heart. The dhikr, the tawbah, the istighfar, he doesn't do this. That is to him, if you do very nicely, the holy man, he does it. It's good if you do, it doesn't matter if you don't do. But that was the most important thing. And the scholars have said, if we purified our heart, then that would go towards developing in the deen and understanding the deen. How can you appreciate that? Look at the Orientalists, these Christian scholars of Islam. They know more about Islam than you and me, the average Muslim anyway, certainly. You have scholars of tafsir, of Arabic grammar, of shahr of hadith, of many things among the Christians. But they are still Christians. So what good do you do to them, knowing so much about Islam? Nothing. Not a penny. Not a halfpenny. So, because the heart is corrupt. But a good Muslim whose heart is trying to purify, he's trying to make it clean, he wants to be forgiven by Allah, he learns only one hadith. He practices it. And he practices it out of reverence for the Prophet and obedience to Allah. And what he's doing is better. It's better for me to know 5 hadith, practice that sincerely, than know 1,000 hadith. I can tell you what Bukhari says in volume 1, and not do it. What's the point? He might as well be like, almost like a Christian. So it's mentioned to us that there's an ayah in the Quran which says that when we are not sincere, when we ascribe piety to ourselves, self-righteous, and we are not serious, what happens is the wrong things that we do, it appears to be good things to be done. The wrong things that we do are made to seem nice to us. They're the good things to be done, made alluring to us. We start giving excuses, we start justifying, and in the end we take our wrongful ways to be the right ways. We say, I know the Prophet said so, I know the companions did so, but our times have changed, we are in a different situation, this is what we have to do, this is better for us to do. We end up saying it's better for us to do. And Allah said in the Quran, أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ السُّوءُ الْعَمَلِ فَرَاحُ حَسَنًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُذِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Is he then to whom the evil of his conduct is made alluring, so that he looks upon it as good, equal to the one who is rightly guided? Are they the same? Who was rightly guided? The prophets were. Who was rightly guided? The companions were. Who have been approved of in the Quran and the Sunnah? First generations. In what way do we differ from them? Many ways. So we are rightly guided and they are rightly guided as well? No. We have altered, we have changed, we are the ones that have taken wrongful ways, different ways. But let's not justify them and say, think they are good. We know the good is what they had. So is he then to whom the evil of his conduct is made alluring, so that he looks the point as good, equal to the one rightly guided? Can't be. The last 5 minutes, inshallah, let us look at some of the ayat mentioned in the Quran. These ayat are very powerful verses. They hold up promises to the believers. The believers, if they can't even accept the promise of Allah, how can they then try and strive to fulfilling it in their lives? How can they? It is not a shameful thing that we don't know. What is shameful thing is that we don't want to know. We may not know anything, doesn't matter. We will change slowly, slowly, step by step, but surely, step by step. Let's not rush it. It's not a game. It's not a tussle between them and us. We want to be Muslims step by step, with the right priorities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We mentioned this. Remember, going back again, remember this. The honor, the might belongs to Allah, His Rasul, and the believers, and we haven't got it at the time being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Verily Allah protects those who are believers. Do you really think if we have the protection of Allah, we can be defeated? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Ya ayyuha nabiyyu hasbukallah wa man taba'aka minal mu'mineen. O Prophet, sufficient for you is Allah and also for those who follow you. Is Allah sufficient for us in our life? Doesn't seem to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wallahu aliyyul mu'mineen. Allah is the supporter of the believers. Do you really think if Allah supports the believers, a people, any people, that people can be defeated? If Allah is on our side, which Jew, which Christian, which Hindu, which Mushrik is going to defeat us? Who can come into our country and take our land? Allah is on our side. Allah said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعْمَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ The ma'iyya of Allah, witness, that Allah is with the believers. If we are believers, we're not experiencing Allah's witness with us. Because they are walking all over us and we are falling head over heels and trying to be as corrupt as we can, cheating and lying and deceiving to anything you mention, eating haram and doing things haram and not doing the wajib and neglecting it, you know. Where is this witness of Allah? So let's remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُوا رُسُولَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيْثِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ We will be giving victory, provide victory to our messenger and those who believe in this life of the world, fil hayat ad-dunya, in the hayat of this world, in this world. This is a promise. Let's at the very first step take the promise and say, we will be victorious and we know the road to it. And when the witnesses appear in front of Allah on the day of judgment. We finish with this last ayah from Ali Imran, the third surah. We are told, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَهَزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمْ عَلَوْنَا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ Do not feel weakened and do not be sad. Do not be saddened because you are uppermost if you are believers. And this is what Ibn Qayyim is saying. The believer thinks he's suppressed and oppressed because he thinks he's meant to suffer in this world. That is wrong. We are oppressed and suppressed because we are not fulfilling the conditions of Iman, the conditions of the Kalima. We are not fulfilling the conditions of the Kalima. We are not really developing love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't really take heart from the promises of Allah. It doesn't matter how much we know, how little we know, we have to start with the right attitude, that is all, and then victory is for us, waiting for us to take it. We are the Muslims, we will vanquish, we will conquer the whole world, we will implement the Sharia, and we will show the enemies of Allah where they stand against those who have taken worship of Allah seriously. SubhanAllah, bihamdihi, subhanAllah, wa bihamdihi, subhanAllah, wa bihamdihi, subhanAllah, wa bihamdihi,
Somebody falls short and they actually go to hell. If he's a Muslim, would he be guaranteed paradise?
Wrong answer.
If a Muslim falls short and he goes to hell, eventually would he be guaranteed paradise?
Yes.
Yes, he could. Proof for that.
Proof, sir. The proofs are in the Quran where we are told that it is the disbeliever who never comes out of hellfire, ever, never, ever. The proofs are in the hadith as well. No matter how nice a non-Muslim has been, if he died as a non-Muslim, the message had reached him and rejected and so on. Allah knows about the excuses of people. But you know, he truly died a kafir, you know, without any justification, he'll never come out of hellfire. But the believer comes out of hellfire eventually. He may enter for a period, could be long, could be short. The believer who has believed in Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, adored him and respected him and tried to follow his sunnah, he would be and lived on Tawheed. One believer on Tawheed would be interceded for, Shafa'a would be done by the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of judgment for those believers who have gone to hellfire, to be taken out or not to be put in there at all. So believers may or may not enter hellfire, but you know, eventually he will definitely come out. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. Last person to come out from hellfire and so on. And the hadith also mentioned, you know, he who has an atom's weight, you know, mustard seed, khardal, mustard seed worth of faith, will be taken out of hellfire. This faith is the Iman in Allah as a Muslim. Not Iman in Allah as a Hindu, obviously.
So, what about that?
I can give you lots of references, but anyway. Inshallah, yeah, I'll put it up. Then we did a talk 7 months ago on invalidation of actions, remember? Invalidation of actions. We mentioned that the believers are the ones who go to paradise and disbelievers don't. And we gave you the proofs. Inshallah.